Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside.fm allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. We are back after a little bit of a break. After a long break, right? I mean, it's been a month, Alex, unless I'm wrong. I gotta scroll all the way.
20 days. It's been 20 days.
20 days. And we're right back with the guests. We're not taking any breaks.
We've got no breaks.
Three guests in a row. This one is Tim Crapshaw, the radio analyst, or capper, I should say. Tim Crapshaw, capper. Radio, that's his nickname. Radio.
Just making sure you clear it up. But yes, that's his nickname.
That's his nickname. The radio analyst of the Brooklyn Nets. It was a really great chat with him. So we're kind of going to send it to that in a little bit. But obviously, we got some stuff to talk about, Alex. Preseason, it's coming up this week. Knicks got their first game. Well, not this week, next week, I guess. Knicks got their first preseason game next Tuesday against the Pacers. And it's exciting. You know, obviously summer league is exciting. You're able to see the young players, but now you're able to see the returning players as well. And they play. It's not that they don't play in preseason like in NFL, Alex. You're going to see the Julius Randles, Kevin Durant most likely, Kyrie Irving most likely, and James Harden most likely because, you know, they'll opt out of those things. But I will guarantee that you will see Julius Randle at some point in this preseason because he's not opting out of preseason, okay? We don't do that here. I don't know what Nets culture you guys got down there, but that doesn't happen. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good. We'll see if Kyrie Irving does show up. Obviously, there's all sorts of controversy with him with the vaccine stuff. Not going to get into that, but I know Stephen A. Smith thinks that the Nets should trade him. So let's see. Luckily, Stephen A. Smith isn't the GM, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I'm doing well. Nets preseason starts this Sunday. I was about to say next Sunday, but this Sunday, October 3rd, 3:30 in the middle of my Giants game, which will also be sad. I'll probably switch over by then because we'll be losing about 35-8. But 3:30 against the Lakers, so we might see some LeBron. We might see some AD. We might see some Russell Westbrook. We might see some Carmelo Anthony. And then, of course, we will see some Irving, Harden, Durant, hopefully. Definitely Durant and Harden, most likely. Maybe Irving. We'll have to see if they allow him into the arena. But, yeah, I'm doing well. I'm excited, and it was a really great interview with Tim Capstraw, and it was a lot of fun to record with him. So hopefully everyone will enjoy it.
I was seeing Tom Thibodeau actually at a press conference the other day, and he addressed a scenario of how he was able to only keep two of his three kind of veterans on the team, obviously alluding to Alec Burks, Derrick Rose, and Reggie Bullock, kind of putting them all in a trio of veterans. But obviously the Knicks were not able to keep Reggie Bullock on their team. And it was interesting how he was talking about them, obviously giving them a lot of praise and they've done a lot for the team and blah, blah, blah. But he just wasn't able to hold on money-wise of Reggie Bullock. So I thought that was interesting. And obviously the Knicks, they're now coming in with two newbies, I guess you could say. Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, obviously the first day of kind of like the jersey stuff where they were putting them in the jerseys, getting the photos, the videos done, the hype stuff. And obviously some of their, they've had press conferences, but I guess their first training camp press conferences that is happening. Taj Gibson, by the way, is looking absolutely ripped. Not saying he hasn't beforehand, but, you know, the second string or third string center off the bench is looking pretty, pretty good. And I got quotes from Kemba Walker on his first impressions of training camp saying, quote, "It's been fun. Guys work hard. And these guys are really together for the most part. Things that I've noticed is guys pick up each other in practice." And obviously, let's see, Julius Randle's getting some shots up in 20 days till opening night. The pictures with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, they look cool. They look like that's a good friendship in New York. And I love that you know, those guys are together. To be honest, RJ Barrett's up there and height-wise with Julius Randle. Looks like he's getting taller as the years go on with the Knicks, obviously, since he's been drafted. But anyway, that's my real only thoughts on the Knicks. Obviously, we want to get you to this interview. Alex, any closing thoughts?
No closing thoughts.
All right. Very, very bland intro from Alex. Don't worry. He's a little more talkative in this interview that you will enjoy, hopefully, at least, with Tim Capstra. We'll play that for you now. Enjoy.
We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York. Go New York. Go.
Go New York. Go New York. Go.
Say, go New York. Go New York. Go.
Go New York. Go New York. Go.
We now welcome on to the podcast Tim Capstra, the radio analyst for the Brooklyn Nets, NCAA TV analyst, and he's also one of the hosts of the sports broadcasting camp alongside Dave Popkin that we were lucky enough to attend. Although it was in the COVID time, you guys made it a very great experience. We really appreciate you for that. Capper, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm all pumped up to be talking to you right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's great how, you know, you kind of definitely helped us path this way towards making the podcast, you know, starting it up here and obviously being able to talk Knicks and Nets, something that you do very well, I think was a big stepping stone in the way to doing this. So I would say thank you very much for your help.
No, I'm great. I'm glad to be here. We'll talk anything you need. We'll have a good time. That's for sure.
All right. So with everyone that we have on, we always ask, how did you get interested? How did you start in the world of sports broadcasting? A little bit for us and a little bit for everyone else as well.
Well, mine wasn't as intentional because when you're an analyst, oftentimes you're a fired coach. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what happened with me. It was about the year 1999, 2000, and I was coaching at Wagner College. And I sort of thought it was coming to an end. I was under a lot of pressure the last couple of years. I had had a decent run, but I knew it. And then people had been encouraging me to get in or try to be an analyst, try to be a TV analyst. I was in a Northeast Conference and, you know, maybe I could do a Wagner game or an FDU game and that. And that's kind of, I lost my job. And then I started hustling, teaching kids one-on-one basketball, doing this. But I wanted to be a broadcaster or be an analyst or just be on TV. And that's really how I got into it. I was originally a coach. You'll see that oftentimes in my position, that sometimes it's an ex-player or an ex-coach that is the analyst. But I've kind of gotten all sides of broadcasting now over the last 20 years or so. So I feel like I do know the other parts of it, and I do know play-by-play, and I do know communicating on screen and all that. That's why I'm able to coach you guys. But in reality, that's how I got into it, by being not that great a basketball coach, and therefore I became an analyst.
So kind of building on top of that, what was your first job? Do you remember in the industry?
Oh, I totally remember. I did sideline for a Northeast Conference game. And the first job I ever had was back at the school that fired me, Wagner. And I was a sideline guy. I also did a halftime feature that was kind of funny and kind of good. But I remember doing sideline, and I still feel that way now. I think when the game's going on, being an analyst is easy. But when they come to you on the sideline and it's just you straight up with the camera and you're reporting, I think that's a totally different skill. And I was okay at it, but that's one of those you got to really develop and you got to really work at it. I think guys nowadays have a much better advantage because you could practice that stuff. If you guys were just hanging out, you could turn your phone on and just say, hey, do a report right here. Do it right now. I wasn't able to have that, you know, that access. And again, under the pressure of knowing you're on TV, that wasn't easy, but I got through it, but I wasn't smooth. That's for sure.
So one of the big things that, you know, I don't know personally if Josh is as into this, but the Olympics, obviously it happened over this past summer. You know, I was really into watching all of it, and you got a chance to cover the Olympics, in 2012. How was that experience like?
It was wild. It was wild because, I didn't go to the Olympics. I was a basketball analyst for that. And, it was, get this, it was on the Saturday Night Live stage. They had all these little booths right on Saturday Night Live. So you walked all the way through NBC studios, just like on the shows and all that. Then you went out to the stage and they had even all the stand, you know, the bleachers or whatever, the seats were the same as Saturday Night Live, but you had all these little booths and they had TVs in them. And then you were hooked up. And I was doing basketball, obviously, doing the games. And then right next to me, the guy could have been doing, he could have been doing the luge or, you know, actually it was the Summer Olympics. Where am I going? Could have been track and field, could have been swimming, could have been anything. And it was wild to be one because it was a soundproof little booth with a little TV. And there I am doing the Olympics. It was a big thrill to me. And I had some big games and it was fun. I didn't do United States. But I did a lot of big other games, and it was a lot of fun. It was just a great experience to be able to associate myself with the Olympics, something I had grown up with and absolutely love.
So I kind of want to come back to something that we did during the camp, which I thought was really fun and exciting, which is, I think it was the last day when you kind of zoomed in from Barclays Center. It was the first game back that you were actually calling, and it was one of the Nets playoff games in the bubble. You and your partner Chris Carino, where you kind of showed us literally the Barclays Center Jumbotron was on the court floor. No one was there. The court was obviously covered, and it was just you guys and I guess the TV announcers and, you know, whatever press were allowed in the Barclays Center covering that. How did that kind of work out? And I mean, kind of updated to now, I mean, are you excited to be able to call games in front of fans? I know you kind of had that experience last year.
Yeah, well, when you play the now you do the home games. So that was the games that were in the bubble. But so the home games, now there's fans. But now when you go on the road, at least last year, and maybe it's kind of up in the air right now. We still might do some this year. It was wild to have only the radio guys on one side of the building, the TV guys on the other, and they were doing a game, and we had the Jumbotron playing the game. It was lowered a bit. It wasn't down to the floor. Maybe when you saw it, it was, but it's about eye level. Then you had another TV next to you, and you just called the game like it was the game. You had to have another TV with you in case it broke from the action. You want to have what's known as camera one on all the action so you could see all 10 players up and down the floor. That would be the middle of the court camera, and that was on everybody. But then you could watch the game from the TV perspective on the Jumbotron. You know something? It seemed really hard and it seemed weird. And then when the game starts, it doesn't. You know what I mean? You kind of just get into the flow. You get into it. It's the game that matters. I'm very fortunate to work with a brilliant play-by-play guy in Chris Carino. And it just kind of happens. And you adapt. And you still, I always tell everybody I got the greatest job in the world. I'm the luckiest guy you ever met. So if I wasn't at the game, or is at the Barclays doing it within in nobody else in the building, it was still a great thrill for me to be doing broadcasting NBA games, that's for sure.
So with the Nets, obviously the big three is here. Do you kind of feel like more pressure now that maybe there's some more people tuning in, there's more people, more spotlight in Brooklyn on the Nets? Does that ever kind of get in your mind or no?
Not really right now. I'm kind of excited about it. I want people to hear. I want people to know. I want people to be into the Nets. I want them to, you know, compete for the NBA championship and be right there and everybody listening and fired up and into it. I can't wait. That's all I care about. You want that. I've been doing this 19 years in my 20th year. If more people want to listen, I'm up for the challenge of doing a very good job supporting the play-by-play guy, again, Chris Carino, and just letting everybody know that Brooklyn Nets basketball is alive. It's great. And we are incredibly excited for the season, that's for sure.
So obviously, as we're getting back to the pace of the NBA season, we have NBA training camp starting up. I think it already started, actually, this week. Obviously, we had players talk to the press. You know, one thing that kind of stuck out to me, obviously, was the news with James Harden. I think he spoke to the media the other day and was a little – he didn't want to – you know, obviously, as players are, they don't want to get too specific with their questions. And when asked about a contract extension, I think he said the words of, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. Does that worry you at all? Obviously, the man still has, what, 2 years on his deal, so you shouldn't be worried. You know, you're going to have him locked up. But past that point, is there any worry?
Oh, I don't know that I've thought about it enough. I didn't know that, you know. And, you know, I just think he's being, you know, he's keeping things open. I think all the players that ever come to Brooklyn love it. They love the way they're treated. They love the environment. They like the flavor of New York. It's first-class organization. So I think he's confident. He's just, he has his own timetable. And I wouldn't worry about that at all. I just think that probably just, you know, wants to play out a season or two and just kind of figure it all out as he goes. But I was incredibly impressed with him last year. I thought he was great. And he came back and played in the playoffs and he wasn't 50%, even 50%. But there was 2 months in the season where he was the Eastern Conference Player of the Year both months. And he was one of the best players in the league. He really adjusted his game, played much more like a distributor, got everybody involved, was incredibly a great leader. And I can't wait to watch him play. Would you love to have him locked up? Great. But I'm telling you what, you know what it is? I don't got this big picture right now. I'm worried about, I want opening night to go well. I want everything, one game at a time. Let's have a great team and let's really enjoy it.
Kevin Durant's already locked up, right, for another 4 years. He had that extension over the summer.
Right.
I don't see James Harden wanting to leave that. I think he even alluded to that in, like, what he said to the press. He said that he, you know, it would be very difficult to leave Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and go somewhere else in free agency. I wanted to get your thoughts on more recent topic with Cam Thomas, you know, the Nets' most recent draft pick. And he obviously lit it up in the summer league. What do you think he's going to bring to this Nets team alongside the big three?
I think he's going to get time and get an opportunity and be a great – I think he's a prolific scorer. I mean, he can really score and get – he gets fouled a lot. That really plays well in the NBA. Your ability to draw fouls is a great skill to have. Probably play against second unit guys quite a bit. He'll be in that loop. He'll get time. But again, these guys, you know, he was great in summer league, and it's a long season, and I think sometimes he'll have to be patient, and he'll probably want to play more, but there'll be other times when he's making major contributions. Hey, listen, I'm just excited to watch him play. One thing we've witnessed since Sean Marks has taken over, that the scouts and Sean Marks have a great eye for talent, and it looks like they nailed it again with Cam Thomas, who will be an excellent pro. He was really good. In the summer league, he'll contribute. But again, Nets have a good problem, right? Because, you know, they got the big three. They brought in Patty Mills that plays on the wing. They've got talent. They got guys that can, boy, Kevin Durant could end up playing on the wing. He could be a small forward at times. But Cam's more of a two. I think he'll get minutes, but we'll have to wait and see. But I'm looking forward to watching him play.
And you just alluded to him. The man I want to talk about with you is Kevin Durant. What an unbelievable comeback story that has been, from being injured, obviously, the first season with the Nets, and then coming back and just absolutely showing off all of his moves, you know, everything he's got in his game, putting up unbelievable amount of scoring, you know, points-wise in the playoffs. And obviously, as Alex and I have talked about, if his foot was, you know, an inch or so smaller, obviously would have nailed that three-pointer. But wow. I mean, I just kind of want to get your thoughts on it because, you know, at some points when you watch Kevin Durant play, especially again in that playoffs, he just leaves you speechless.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, some I had watched them play, and you watch them. I just, you know, some guys when you watch them all the time, you don't. It kind of wears off a little bit. I thought there were. I don't know that he had ever played better than he had played at times for the Nets. Maybe he had. Maybe I don't watch close enough. Maybe he didn't have the same opportunities at Golden State. Maybe I didn't watch close enough. I knew he was great. But, man, there were times when he was just such a brilliant basketball player in everything that he could do. I think the Nets utilize him very, very well. They let him – he handles the ball some. He'll be down low. He's your greatest mid-range game in the league. He's 6'11", getting to his spots. And this becomes a big key for this that team. He can defend. He can really defend. He can defend multiple positions. He can at times be a factor in the interior, not necessarily altering shots, maybe rejecting shots, especially when he's with another big like Nick Claxton and him along together, or maybe LaMarcus Aldridge in the paint. That's a lot of length to shoot over. So he's very effective. I also think he could guard some small forwards this year. I think there's a chance he could end up being on the wing some. He's an elite defender and a brilliant, brilliant player. I'm glad that he's getting the recognition now that he's really as special a player as he is, because the more you watch, the more you look, the more you like with him, boy. It is a thrill to watch.
It's not a reach. He's the number one player in the world.
No, I'd go with that. Yeah. I think that's that can be the statement right now. That could change. You don't know how a couple guys might go, especially the guy out in L.A., but he's getting a little older. I think it's fair to say Kevin Durant, you know, right there is either the – I think a lot of people are saying it now, and I think they have every right to say that.
So with this Nets team, you're looking this season, you kind of look at the bench. You have guys like Nick Claxton. What kind of year do you think he's going to have? What kind of role do you think he's going to have? Because obviously we saw DeAndre Jordan, obviously he got traded. He had a more significant role in the beginning of the season. But as we got into playoff time, you just didn't see him at all. So what do you think the Nets structure with their bigs is going to be this season?
Yeah, going to be interesting, right? Because let's think of this rotation right now. Because early in the summer, I'm thinking, boy, the Nets are still thin up front. They're not going to have enough up front. They better find something. And they sure did, because they added Paul Millsap and LaMarcus Aldridge coming back. That's a heck of a job. Now, both guys are older in their career, but they're not going to be asked to play 30 minutes either. And same thing with Blake Griffin, who's another year removed from being injured and still isn't so old and looked pretty darn good last year. You got him, and then you got Claxton. You got Durant that could play some. That plays kind of the four. You'd say he's a four. That's a lot of. You lose Jeff Green, who was really good last year, but I think they did a great job of getting reinforcements, talent, experience, maturity, and guys that want to win a championship. I think if you're going out there on day one. Does Blake Griffin start? Yeah, probably. Durant at the four. But you know, Aldridge is going to get time. You know, Claxton's got to get some time. He's got such great activity. Plus, he can switch on the perimeter. Millsap has got to get time. Rebounding is such a problem. It's had a couple issues this year. They didn't defend consistently. They didn't rebound well enough. Paul Millsap is one of the elite rebounders. And again, maybe he can't go 28 minutes, but he can give you 18. 15 to 18 and go get the ball, and he can shoot it. That's kind of how I see it. It's almost like it went from, oh, this is the biggest weakness, to, wow, they got a lot of bodies, and are they going to be able to keep everybody fresh, alive, playing enough? And but we know how the seasons play out, right? It's never, you never have everybody available, it doesn't feel like. So it'll work out, and yet I think the Nets really did a great job again of fortifying the front line, and should be ready to go, that's for sure.
And you mentioned the season. My final question for you is, we start off this Nets season with a wonderful matchup recreating the playoff series that ended in a Nets loss in overtime that I still don't think should have been a Nets loss, honestly. But Nets, Bucks, I mean, what do you anticipate from, you know, that great of a matchup to start the season?
Well, for start the season, but just think about it through the season.
Yeah.
You know, I think people looking at the rosters are probably saying the Nets, you know, if you're picking people, you know, people are looking at Nets saying, well, if they're healthy, look out, they're really dangerous. But I think something happens to teams when they've gone through it and won a championship. I think there's less pressure and there's more maturity. And I think Milwaukee's learned how to play. I think they lose a little bit. They don't have PJ Tucker. But they also get DiVincenzo back. I think Drew Holiday will even be a better leader this year. It's going to be a great matchup. Game one will be a great matchup, but you know, you're not going to dictate your season on October 19th. You know what I mean? There's a lot of season to go. You got it's game one. You got 82 more. But I would not be surprised at all if that's the conference final. Now, a lot of things can happen, though. We learned a lot last year about how many guys on different teams, including the Nets, had injuries, and how you got to have depth. You got to be a little lucky. You got to have the right timing. You might have to gone through the wars a little bit. Milwaukee's done that. I think they're good. I think people are almost not necessarily sleeping on them, but maybe not giving their championship enough credit, because the Nets were down bodies a little bit. The Lakers obviously weren't the Lakers last year, and it wasn't quite the same. I really think they're going to be special. I think they're going to have a really good team, and I think they'll be right there at the end competing. We'll see who it's against. Hopefully it's the Nets, because I still think the Nets have to be favored in the East and maybe for the entire title right now. But again, a lot of games to be played, right?
A ton of games to be played.
Yeah, like a ton. It's like, you know what it is? It's like an NBA season is 82 games. It's like four different college seasons. You know, it's kind of like you go through this, then you go through that. Then maybe a trade's made. Then maybe this happens. There's a million things go on. So you wouldn't want to put too much on game one, but it's a great way against Milwaukee, but it's a great way to start this season.
And hey, listen, I went this whole episode without mentioning it, but look out for my Knicks. I didn't want to say it because I wanted Alex to have his time as, you know, a big Knicks Brooklyn good. Nets fan, but.
Knicks are good.
Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier. Look out for it.
No, and they're going to be disciplined. They're going to play incredibly hard. They'll play together. They're heading very much in the right direction. Kemba Walker is going to be really good. Derrick Rose for totally supporting the fact that he's the starting point guard. I'll come off the bench. It's year two for them right now, and they've done a very, very good job. You got a reason for optimism as far as the Knicks, that's for sure.
A playoff series like that would be amazing, though, too. You know, obviously New York versus New York. Doesn't get better than that.
No, it would be great. No, I agree with that. The city would be buzzing. I think both teams, I think, you know, think about it. The Nets are kind of in year 4 or 5 right now. The Knicks are kind of in year 2 or 3 right now as they're developing and new people coming in. Because it starts at the top in your management, and they're doing a very, very good job. But I will say that the Brooklyn Nets under Sean Marks and what he's done is one of the great jobs in the history of sports. Forget about just basketball as far as turning a franchise around. Remember, he came into 0 draft picks. They're all traded away. He found a way to make all these things happen. It is a remarkable, remarkable story what's going around with the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets radio analyst, NCAA TV analyst. Go check out the sports broadcasting camp and go follow Tim Capshaw on Twitter at Tim Capshaw. Capper, we thank you so much for joining us.
All right, guys. I'm so proud of you, man. You do such great work, and it was a thrill for me to be on, and I really, really appreciate it.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a Valley Girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.